This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Matt and Brett here today. We're going to have fun today, well, as opposed to the usual dredge fest this is.
As opposed to the other days where we don't have fun. Today's special.
This is just, it's like, it's Kurt Dowd. It's a howler monkey exhibit on display. Oh, we got to get to Dowd. I got to play some audio. We got to play some audio a little bit later from the DFL's Twitter account, okay? Like I said, howler monkey. But we've got, of course, coming up a little bit later on this hour, Ricardo Lopez is going to join us from the Minnesota Reformer. Republican dirty tricks. We got a lot to talk about in the second half hour of all the dirty tricks that have been going on in regards to how the Republicans are acting in the special session here. We'll get to that. Greg Bakken, Ghost Box Radio, is going to join us. I've been meaning to have Greg back on since the UFO report, which is not broken. You know, he clarified that with us, that it has not broken. But the fact that the military is now coming out and saying, oh, yeah, we have no idea what these things are. They're trying to play both sides of that coin. They're trying to. We'll get to that. 5 o'clock hour. Greg's going to join us. And if you're not listening to Ghost Box Radio, which is on Sundays from 4 until 5, there's a rebroadcast on Saturday, right?
Yeah, and yesterday he adds on someone who I'm not sure if they're the caretaker or the person who owns the actual Annabelle doll from the, you know, the movie The Conjuring.
Sweet Lord, that's a real thing?
Yeah. Oh, that Annabelle doll is real. Yeah, it doesn't look quite like it does in the movie, but it's still scary.
When Patrick cosplays that here, I find that terrifying. Sorry. Just, okay, this is an inside joke between me and Brett here. Just the idea of our other producer, Patrick, cosplaying the Annabelle. Yeah.
I, on the other hand, do, though.
You look pretty. You look nice. Some people would say I'm cosplaying Planet of the Apes. It's a hair condition. I'm sorry. It's a thyroid, I think it is. I don't know what it is. Needless to say, hi. I've got to start the show, though, talking on a personal note. Because where we ended up last week was me livid as the day is long at the Catholic Church. Now, and primarily at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, who last week decided to turn the Catholic Church political because – and there's a lot of stupidity behind this. I mean, there is a tremendous amount of stupidity. The vast majority of Catholics actually support abortion rights, and the vast majority – of Catholics, even though Joe Biden, as president of the United States, has said that he can't, as the president, because there's a thing called separation of church and state, force his Catholic views on other people, that most Catholics do not feel as if that there should be punishment for Joe Biden for doing so. The only subsect of the Catholics who feel Joe Biden should be punished are Republican people that put their politics on the Republican side above everything else. There are a lot of Catholic bishops in this country who have become seduced by the power of political office, that Republicans and Republican donors wave a few dollars at them, give them some power, give them a seat at the table, and they have, you know, yes, sir, I'll forsake my Bible. I'll forsake my faith. Just tell me how to vote. And it's a joke because the fact is they're snuggling up with people, and I've talked about this extensively. They're snuggling up with people who have basically thrown out the entire Gospel of Matthew. This is one of the major teachings of Jesus. Jesus, the reason why people are Christian and Catholic, the Republican Party has completely ripped out the Gospel of Matthew out of their Bibles and giddily thrown it away. So when a Republican, and I'll get back to this in a second, when a Republican ever says, you're a cafeteria Catholic, well, they are far more cafeteria Christians. Far more. So the U.S. Conference of Catholic bishops decided to basically pass a law saying you can forbid a senior politician from getting communion unless the way I read it is unless they're forcing their Catholic views on everyone else through official health care policy towards abortions in America. And they went ahead and voted to do so. We're going to sit down and write about it. Now, the Catholic bishops insist while they were in conference, this has nothing to do with Joe Biden. We're not including any specific presidential names or anyone in our alert. This is just some clarification on wording. But those hacks, the hacks in the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops couldn't stop themselves and were out in front of the media all week last week during their conference talking about, well, at the university, in my diocese in Madison, Wisconsin, or in my diocese in Terre Haute, Indiana, or in my diocese in Kansas City, every parishioner is like, why is Joe Biden killing all those babies? They couldn't help themselves. They were pandering for the political power they have placed above their sacred position within the Catholic Church. And they did it. Once again, they snuggle up to politicians and Donald Trump. And a lot of these guys love Donald Trump, even though he's the epitome. He's a biblical villain, for God's sakes. And you show me a Republican day that today that follows anything to do with the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew is chock full of direct teachings from Jesus. And once again, this is the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The story of Jesus, his birth to the resurrection. This is what makes Christians and Catholic. And you show me a Republican today that respects anything of it, or any of these hack Catholic bishops who have tried to hold those people, their beloved Republican politicians, to any kind of biblical standard. They don't. This is pure politics. I and my wife and I, when we discovered they were about to try to do this, and we knew that where this was going, sat down at the kitchen table because you know what? We're like every other American. I like being Catholic. I can say that. I'm not afraid of saying that. I like being Catholic. I do. Or rather, I did. My wife and I made the decision, and we have one thing we have to iron out, but we'll figure it out. We've quit the Catholic Church. And so today, I made that call to our church, a church I love dearly, a church, and I want you to hear that. I love my church. I love my church. Father Mike, Father McMichael. Father McMichael could be the greatest priest I have ever had the privilege of listening to. I've had fantastic priests throughout the years at this church. Father Patrick, Father Bill, Father Herb. I've been lucky to be part of that church. I liked our church. Our church was more liberal. It remembered the Gospel of Matthew. It remembered that all are welcome. All are welcome within the church. All are welcome. And they sure didn't create political lines that deviated and separated people that wanted to come worship and be part of that from each other. My wife and I, back when the child sex scandal really became apparent, that this was overwhelming everywhere within the church, had a long discussion on whether or not should we leave the church at that point. We thought about it for a long time. But we came to the discussion that, you know what, no one at our church was involved, and it wasn't. Our church was doing a lot of good. Our priests were doing a lot of good. I trusted them. I didn't trust Neinstedt back then, Archbishop Neinstedt. I did not trust him, and now we know the truth about him. Holy cow. The truth came out there. But this was we decided to stay with the church. Back in 2012, when the disastrous idea of the Catholic Church going out there and campaigning against gay marriage, that was out there. That was something that one of our priests at that point stood up in front of everyone else, because the Archdiocese Neinstedt at that time had ordered the churches to basically tell people how to vote. And my priest refused. He says, I've been told to tell you what to say, but I am not going to do that. You are adults. You make your own decisions. You move on. He got a standing ovation. I love my church. Love my church. Love my priests. They were very good. I was very proud of being part of that church. Kids had gone to Sunday school. We went to about 40 services a year out of 52. Caught all the major holidays. Donated every year. Donated every month. Made a nice donation because that's what we were supposed to do. But it was going to good causes. And this was too much. This is too much. Once again, here we have the church trying to weaponize Jesus, trying to weaponize, to punish, to separate, to divide. And they did. And they did. And I guarantee you the right-wing hacks in Terre Haute and the right-wing hacks in Madison and the right-wing hacks in Kansas City are high-fiving each other. I don't understand your end game here, because I guarantee you, you're going to lose at least, I'm going to guess 10 to 20% of Catholics are going to walk away after this whole thing. 10 to 20% of the Catholic Church is going to walk away. Who's coming in? Seriously, you Catholic bishops, do you think a bunch of Baptists are all going to sudden say, wow, look how restrictive the Catholics are. Let's change churches. No. You think evangelicals are going to, most evangelicals don't like the Catholics. You think they're going to convert to Catholicism? You think atheists who don't like the church are going to say, you know what, I stayed away from the church, but look how much they're basically turning this into a political litmus test. Well, guess what? You know what? No. They're not going to come. I don't understand this outside of you. Clearly, the only reason these Catholic bishops are doing it is pandering to a right-wing political ideology that they perceive will give them power, and that is not what their job is. And they are, once again, taking a religion based on love, peace, welcoming and understanding it, and turning it into a weapon of hate. Now, that being said, and I've already, if you go read the Blogspot, I talked a lot about the religious implications and going through the Bible and the fact that abortion's a real mixed bag within the Bible. God kills off lots of kids in the Bible. There's actually even in Numbers a how to give an abortion in Numbers, which is really weird, a discussion between Moses and the Lord. But, nope. I've already gone over this. This is a deeply personal decision. This is not something that I'm doing because I'm trying to rally up the troops. No. I've always said the same thing. You do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Catholic. I don't really care what you are. I really don't. I mean, that's my religious, my relationship with my higher God, my spirit is my own personal one. I am not here to lead a boycott. I am not here to tell you what to do. Isn't that why I'm leaving? I'm leaving because they're trying to tell us what to do. And I will not tolerate that. And I sure as heck don't want you to do what I'm doing. I want you to make your own choices. I want you to make your own choice. I'm not a leader here. This is just a personal story. I'm sharing with you because this is a big part of who I am. And if you are one of these people that comes in and listens every day, I'm grateful. Thank you. I very much appreciate it. I really do. But I'm going to be making this choice not for anyone else but myself. That's why I don't go to my wife and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. I sit down and I talk with my wife. We say, what would you like to do? And we make a decision as a family. So please, I'm talking about it because it needs to be talked about. And we're talking about it because we live in a day and we live in a society where the right has taken over Christianity and used it as a weapon against liberals. And it's about dang time we started to fight back. They don't even hear themselves. I mean, you'll tell a far-right Christian, can you point to the books? I mean, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story of Jesus. Can you point in the Bible, in those four books, where Jesus tells us not to have an abortion? And they say, oh, well, it's in John. Is it Luke? No, it's not in there. I'll save you the time. He never once condemned it. He gave you a lot of commands in the Gospel of Matthew, a gospel that once again, pretty much every Republican politician you know has ripped out of their Bible and giddily burned. because the Gospel of Matthew tells them to do everything they don't want to do. And by the way, when they try to play that game, well, the Bible tells us this. Well, about the Gospel of Matthew. Well, I would love to welcome in strangers from strange lands, but, you know, only documented or undocumented. Funny story. I don't see that in the Gospel of Matthew. Where does it say exactly documented, undocumented in the Gospel of Matthew? I don't see that. Don't see it anywhere. Don't see it anywhere. And they go, hamana, 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 hamana. Hey, Tori Westrom, when you tried to take away SNAP benefits from farmers markets, you know, take away food from the hungry. Funny story. That goes against the teachings of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. I know. Isn't it a crime to have a liberal that knows of the Bible? But anywho, can you explain to me where it says moocher class or double dipping in the... I don't see that in the Gospel of Matthew. It's like you're pulling that out of your own caboose to try to use your you know, kind of cover up the fact that you really don't care about that. You know, it's like almost trying to do that. I will say this, challenge these people, because as they like to scream, those liberals are cafeteria Catholics. No one picks and chooses what to follow in the Bible more than the far right. And all the beginning and end of that discussion is the Gospel of Matthew. Read it. It's a hoot. It's got a lot of stuff in there. If you're a progressive, that's a good book. Go and throw. And by the way, and I'm once again, you do or don't do whatever it is. You don't want to read it, don't read it. I'm just saying. Now, today, I did. Called up my church. I canceled our monthly donation and told them we're leaving. I told them to tell this to the Archdiocese Hebda, go to the Archbishop Hebda. By all means, tell them. I might be the only one, but I'm okay with that. I am. Because this is personal. And it's not meant to be marching orders or guide. It's meant to be about what I'm comfortable with. And I'm just not comfortable with a bunch of far-right, addicted to political power, conservative bishops in the Catholic Church dictating who can and cannot be welcomed in when one of the most devout Catholics I've ever seen in Joe Biden is such a threat to them because, God forbid, he actually follow the office of the president while he also is a Catholic. Now, one last little thing before I get into the break here. I have had a ton of people suggest churches to me. Thank you. Please do. You can message me at Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show on Facebook. Comment at am950radio.com is our email here. You can message me, send me a message on Twitter. Here's what I'll say. Just let me know what church you think. Like I said, all are welcome. That's what we're looking for. All are welcome. All are welcome. You have some suggestions of a faith, of a denomination, a specific church that you would like for me to check out. We will get there. It's probably not going to be for a few weeks because, like I said, we got one or two things my wife and I have got to figure out yet. But I, you know, we've already had a lot of people suggest churches and suggest denominations and suggest, you know, faiths. And we are going to try them out. They're not Catholic, and that's the Catholic Church's loss. But this was the last straw. Please do what you do. Don't take what I'm saying as any guidance. This is not a leading of a boycott. This is not anything. Religion, your personal faith, whether you have it or not, that is a personal decision. Please make yours on your own. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Larry, Julie, Mike, I'll get your calls after the break. Ricardo Lopez joins us. We're going to switch into politics after the bottom of the hour. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I got full phone lines. Let's run these. Larry is in St. Paul. He wanted to chime in. Welcome on in, Larry. Thanks for holding. Larry? Larry, you there? Did we lose Larry?
No, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. Julie is in Minneapolis. Julie, thank you very much for holding. Welcome on in.
Yeah, you know, Matt, I'm so moved as you speak. As you speak today, I can hear the emotion and difficulty in your life. And I would say God bless you for what you're going through.
Thank you.
My experience is I'm not a theologian. I don't know anything about theology. I'm just a dumb Midwesterner. I was brought up in a Lutheran church here in Minneapolis. But I don't ever recall hearing a pastor say, well, if you've robbed something, you can't come to the communion table. You're guilty of a theft. Or if you've lied, or, you know, anything like that. My simple view of communion is we are all sinners. We come to the table to be blessed by God's grace. And it is not the role of the priest or the pastor, the leader, to say, what kind of sinners can receive communion?
You know,
what kind of people?
Julie, if I can stop and make a point here really quick, and I want to think, as a woman who just claimed that she's not a theologian, you just displayed deeper knowledge of theology than the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference. So thank you very much. You're exactly right. And thank you very much for the phone call. I do appreciate that, because that's the point. I'm not a theologian. I am not a Catholic bishop. And if I can look at you and I say, what are you doing? Shouldn't that be a case where I say, you say to that's a big red flag? But I, once again, I'm sure the pats on the back, I'm sure that the far right Christian Catholics in the Archdiocese of Kansas City and the Archdiocese of Kansas and the in Madison, rather, and the Archdiocese of Terre Haute, I'm sure that they will double their tithe or triple their tithe to make up for every liberal or progressive or Democrat or just person with a common sense that doesn't want you doing that. Mike is in Columbia Heights. Let's get Mike on in here. Mike, thank you very much. Welcome on in.
Thank you, Matt. I remember when the first Catholic president, JFK, was elected, I was cognizant of politics at that time because my family was cognizant of politics and into politics. My grandfathers used to argue against Republicans. But I remember at that time they were afraid that if they elected a Catholic president, the Pope would use the Catholic president and the dogma to manipulate the government of the United States. And now you see that they're trying to manipulate Biden. They're sending a message to the Supreme Court, and they're sending a message to the Republican Party that if you're pro-life and you're pro executing prisoners, that's okay.
Yeah, and
kill people. Go ahead, Matt.
No, well, and you're exactly right, Mike. You see, it's this splitting of hair stuff that they're trying to do in regards to the, you know, saying, well, sure, they sin, and yeah, they're not feeding the hungry, and they're not taking care of the sick, and they're not getting, you know, visiting prisoners. They're not against the death penalty. That's fine. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate your phone call. But, you know, at the same time, the Republican Party pretty much has thrown out the entire Gospel of Matthew, one of the four books that makes Christians Christian. And they think those guys are great. Larry is back. Larry in St. Paul. Larry's going to be our last call on this, because once again, I change into politics when I get back after the break. Larry, welcome on in.
Yeah, I just first of all want you to know that Terre Haute is not the seat of a bishop. It's the bishop of Indianapolis.
Okay, he was the guy from Terre Haute. The guy from Terre Haute was getting a lot of press over the weekend last week there for sure.
Who was it?
It was I can tell you. I don't have time to track it down right now. I'll find the name of the guy.
I'll have to look it up. But you know, just the fact is that there are plenty of people in Terre Haute that, number one, you know, disagree with the lies that the church has been telling since the 1970s about abortion, and also have felt the hurt of hard-headed priests that have told people they can't go to communion because they're dating a Protestant, that kind of thing.
Oh, remember back in the 60s? Remember the 60s? Where they wouldn't let, yeah, back in the 60s, they wouldn't let you go get communion if you're dating someone from a different race. I mean, there were churches that were like that in this. It once again is a standard that goes on out there that is – they're only appealing to a very small fringe. They're only appealing to a very, very small fringe. But that's what it is. And this, yeah. You have to make your own choices when it comes to your personal religious faith. You have to make your own choices. And if you are a person who, if you've been in the Catholic Church, it's been very difficult to toe the company line over the last 20 years. And, you know, and the whole thing with Neinstein, remember the gay marriage amendment, and then you find out the truth about Neinstein and what was going on there, and the cover-ups once again that were there. And no, maybe that's really the change here, is that no longer do we think of religious institutions as absolutes, that we have to think that we have to follow through on them, that after repeatedly weaponizing the Bible, omitting large parts of the Bible, like I said, no one's bigger cafeteria Christians than the far right, because they completely get rid of the Gospel of Matthew. But maybe that what we're realizing is the fallibility of faith itself, and that you are better off to have that. But that's a discussion that you need to have on your own. My wife and I had a discussion, and today we're looking for a new church. 952-946-6205. Ricardo Lopez, we are once again changing into politics. I'm not going to take any more calls on this. Maybe later in the 5 o'clock hour, but we got Ricardo Lopez, we got Greg Bakken coming up, a lot of other different topics. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Spiritual thoughts, spiritual life. Looking at the footage of what's going on the house floor there, Kurt Dowd's got one of those jackets on. Is he fighting Batman later on this afternoon?
You had me look at that, and I was like, wow, my eyes kind of hurt after seeing that jacket.
I got something for you, Cape Crusader, my hypno jacket. Oh, they need some stores up in his district. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. But it is the finest vinyl you can ever find. Oh, that is just not only good for car seats, kids. There is one thing that is apparently become clear. When you watched what happened at the end of last week, where the belligerent Senate Republicans were, whatever it was, attacking clean cars, attacking SNAP benefits at farmers markets, attacking the Minnesota Historical Society, they're making up these demands that are trying to hold up bills in the Senate. Meanwhile, the House Republicans have turned basically into a howler monkey exhibit. I'll share with you that a little bit later. But needless to say, the point is the same. Republicans traditionally do not like the public seeing how these bills get written, and traditionally like to wait till the very end of these special sessions to throw everything against the wall and say, you have to vote now. Most of the time, and what we have seen, whether that's Southwest Light Rail Line, whether that's, you know, one senator sneaking in and taking out language preventing internet companies from selling your children's internet history, you find Republicans will either go into these bills on their own at the last second, add wording, remove wording, try to push an agenda. It seems to be the case right now, and they're trying to do it with another issue. Ricardo Lopez is kind enough to join us, the Minnesota Reformer. There's some maneuvering that happened today, and I want to bring him on in here to talk about that, get the latest on that, and then talk about this technique and how it is. It's to a point it's been shockingly effective for the Republicans, but at the same time, former Governor Dayton and Governor Walz have actually been pretty keen on knowing what's coming down the line. Ricardo Lopez, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about what happened today. This Carla Bingham, this was something that was added to I believe it was the oil refineries?
On Friday there was the jobs bill came before the Senate floor for a vote, and she had been pushing this legislation since the start of the session. She'd sponsored a measure that would have, you know, been in favor of requiring that contract workers at the Marathon Refinery in St. Paul complete or graduate from apprenticeship programs similar to those of union workers. So the issue here being safety. Marathon Refinery workers have been on strike over this issue for more than 3 months at this point. And I think there was a a vote to reject an offer from ownership there. So, but anyways, you know, like I said, she had pushed this legislation since early this year. And on Friday, she was able to tack it on as an amendment, and it received 50 votes in the Senate, you know, a large number of Republican senators voted in favor of it, and it was amended to the bill. So that's what happened on Friday. But then today, there was another vote held to move that bill back to the Finance Committee, and there were some vague, you know, vague assurances of things being added and removed, and so. It sounds like that provision that had been successfully added on Friday would be changing now.
Do we know? I mean, obviously, it sounds like the Senate Finance Committee, which once again controlled by the Republicans, there when they started this, they basically they're trying to make it seem like this is not about policy, but because they I think the first thing they said is we're only looking at the financial spreadsheets, but at the same time. It's clear they're trying to get this seems to be an end around technique to, you know, get this specific issue, possibly other issues. And once again, try to either manipulate the system to where they can get some other concession or basically just get rid of stuff that, yes, was agreed to. But now that whether it's corporate lobbyists or internal Republican ideology that they say, no, maybe we shouldn't have that in there. Is this the only issue that the Finance Committee was looking at, or are there other issues as well that were coming before it that they were going to try to prune the branches?
Yeah, I mean, this was one of them. I think, you know, there was talks of the a few other provisions in that bill that, you know, they're trying to figure out a way to, I think, make sure that one of the things that does get added moving forward is broadband. And right now, you know, some projects are parked in the bonding bill, and it's still unclear if we're going to get a bonding bill from the House. So I think, you know, in the middle of all this, you know, sort of negotiating and wheeling and dealing, you know, they're kind of preparing for the possibility that there isn't a bonding bill. So if that happens, you know, they're trying to figure out where do we put these projects, right? Do we put them in the jobs bill? Do we put them in the commerce bill, right? So, I mean, in one way or another, we are not yet sure, you know, what the final deal will be, but, you know, I think lawmakers are preparing for the prospect of, you know, if these deals get made, they need to be put in some bill somewhere, you know, and that might not be a bonding bill.
The Senate Finance Committee Chair is Julie Rosen. Has she been outspoken against this? And once again, I like the idea. You know, you're not saying it's mm-hmm. pro-union. You just have to have safety training to be able to work at the Marathon plant, regardless if that goes to the union or goes through a, you know, a community college of some sort or an apprenticeship
right.
program. Has Julie Rosen been very vocal against this idea?
So on Friday, you know, she, as well as State Senator Eric Pratt of Prior Lake, he's the chairman of the Jobs Committee, and also Senator Paul Gazelka, who's the majority leader, those three voted against the amendment. And I think that should tell you, you know, where they stand on that issue. And Gazelka did speak about it today in a brief, you know, availability with reporters. And, you know, like I said, you know, he said essentially that right now the caucus position is that they want to see the safety issues at the refinery studied. You know, and that's kind of, you know, legislative speak for let's kind of, you know, buy some time by studying the issue further, right? And I got a response from Senator Bingham to that, you know, comment that basically she said, you know, these issues don't need to be studied. The workers know the safety issues. And she said the amendment currently in the bill will make well-trained and skilled workers operate the refinery. So, you know, I think that that's what we can expect to see until the Finance Committee meets and takes up that language. We don't know specifically what that looks like. And so, you know, we're still kind of waiting to see what emerges there.
You're not saying this. I'm saying this. Sounds like it's either a case of do we have lobbyist money coming in or do we have the potential of lobbyist money coming in? But that's just me because I think, you know, Carla Bingham's point is right. I mean, they know the safety issues exist there. This is just one way to deal with it. So the only reason you would be against the safety issues is if maybe either a corporate lobbyist or the company itself is like, no, we don't think this is a problem. So I think there might be a fishing expedition that didn't need to go to Alaska on this. Have you heard anything about what's going on in this committee in regards to – it sounds like they kind of – were going to do a little bit of – was it a work session or something like that? They kind of shut down the cameras or something? They're kind of – I'm not quite sure what they were doing there, but I think they were pretty clear that a lot of people were watching what they were doing, and there seemed to be concerning the Republicans in the Senate about being watched on this. Have they made any movements on this specific issue?
You know, I haven't, you know, I was in some of these, you know, like I said, these avails with the legislative leader. So I didn't quite catch what they did. But my understanding is that they recessed and they are kind of working out that language at the moment. And that's kind of where the state of things are right now. Right. I mean, we had, you know, before they came into special session, all this stuff is happening out of public view. And here at the tail end with so few days left in the special session, these things will continue to happen and they'll come up right either in the Finance Committee. Or they might come up, you know, on the Senate floor. You know, there's just so many entry points for these final, you know, deals to be, you know, entered into once, you know, but once, you know, these bills come to the floor, then it becomes trickier. But, you know, I think, you know, like I said, there are many entry points for where this language can crop up. But for now, I think we can expect to see that later tonight in the Finance Committee.
Let's talk about the process. And we've seen this play out the last few years because the Republicans have clearly adopted a game plan and to a point somewhat successful, to the point somewhat unsuccessful. I mean, you saw how Governor Dayton actually smacked back on Kirk Dowd on Southwest Light Rail, which, by the way, is being built as we speak right now in the Southwest metro area. But on some things, this does happen. There is a reluctance to have public hearings. We saw that earlier this year with Paul Gazelka and the police, you know, more police reform. He promised that and then very quickly said, okay, no, we're not going to do this in conference committees. And they don't want it to see the light of day what's going on because they know that their stance is not going to be perceived very well publicly. They try to do as much as they can behind closed doors. I think, and the way I described it before we started talking, where you have the Senate Republicans trying to create kind of a circus mentality with specific issues like clean cars or anti-SNAP benefits at farmers markets, that kind of tries to hide what's going on behind the scene. Meanwhile, the House Republicans are basically just screaming at the top of their lungs for the last few days. And you create this kind of, kind of unlistenable noise, which nothing really comes out. No real message comes out. They get to the conference committees, they pass bills, and then, once again, we have seen them have people go in and change bills that had been compromised on, removing language, adding language, basically lying straight to the people, and basically trying to run out of there, get the bill passed. I think that the Democrats are trying to counterpoint that. Melissa Hortman, I think, said the tax bill is the last bill we're going to take up, so unless you basically get the rest of these bills done, they're not going to go before the tax bill. And I know the Republicans want that. Also, I know Governor Walz, after, 8 years of this now, they're expecting last-minute shenanigans on this. Is there anything to make you believe that there isn't going to be a lot of this behind the doors, writing of these bills by Republicans and trying to sneak past stuff or remove stuff from bills at the last second and throwing everything at the Democrats, say, vote now? Do you feel that's going to probably be the same? As you see this play out right now, do you think that's going down that route?
Well, I think, in the end, we got to remember that we have Democrats who control the House and obviously, Walz is the governor and he's a Democrat. So, I think all three kind of, parties here, the Republicans in the Senate, Democrats in the House and the governor don't necessarily expect major victories for themselves. Although I will point out that the clean car rules currently as written, the way, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has formulated them, will go ahead as planned. And that, was something that Gazelka sort of brought up, was asked about today. And I don't think people quite get that that's a pretty, big victory for Walz. I mean, essentially it appears as though Gazelka's capitulated on that. Because there won't be a delay in the implementation and, and this has been very sort of out there under the rulemaking process of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, but those rules won't take into effect until 2024. So Gazelka said today, it sounds as though that's going to be made into an election issue, right? But whether or not, voters will care that deeply about clean car emission standards and requiring more electric vehicles, that's kind of up in the air. So at least that's one issue where Walz can declare victory.
Think your company's safe?
Sorry about that. Go right ahead. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. So that's one issue that the Walz, administration can sort of declare victory on. And in terms of the tax bill, I mean, Hortman sort of had it right. I mean, she said, we're going to hold on to this bill until we are satisfied with what we see in the end, right? And obviously, that is the number one priority for Republicans. They don't want to see any tax increases, but they also want to see, the payroll protection plan loans be, forgivable without any state taxation. So that's a really big priority for Republicans. But just the same, Republicans can hold on to the state government bill. right, until they're satisfied with what they see. So I don't think you'll necessarily see, the same way that you had seen Republicans in the past sort of force Democrats vote on something they haven't seen or aren't happy with. I think you're going to see a very status quo outcome to this session.
I, by the way, thanks for the breaking news on the clean cars. I'd heard that Melissa Hortman had said there was a compromise there. I was wondering if clean cars were there. I can't believe Bill Ingebrigtsen going to a fishing trip in Alaska on the first day of special session helped the Republican argument that clean cars needed to be in there. So it's interesting. I think Gazelka capitulating on that, that's a very interesting one. So thanks for that. One last thing I want to ask you about. Watching the behavior of the House Republicans. One of the things I'm starting to become convinced of is Eric Mortensen, the representative who the former Republican representative from Shakopee, who is on a very extreme far right. He was kind of part with that group. It sounds like he is part associated with that group that was there on the first day of special session, talking about how they consider the Republicans caving with the Democrats if they work with them at all. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really starting to get the impression that as much as those people are bad-mouthing and don't like Eric Mortensen, they really seem to be somewhat afraid of his followers. And needless to say, I think a lot of what you're seeing, specifically the House Republicans, is political theater to try to appease them to make it look like they're not working with the Democrats. How far off base do you think I am on that?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty, vocal, but I would say a very small kind of portion of the conservative base. I mean, of course, Gazelka was asked about, those protests that were aiming, taking aim at him on the first day of the special session. And essentially, his point was, I have been, pushing against walls as emergency power since day one. But, I think Gazelka kind of, lives in this, in this factual reality, which is just, as long as the Democrats control the House, they're going to back walls. And so he can hold all the votes that he wants in the Senate. But until the House DFL, goes against walls, I mean, there's not much he can do. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I think the idea that Republicans can essentially, shut down negotiations and push the state to a brink of a government shutdown is not something that Republicans in the Senate are keen on doing, given how they have been viewed in terms of being culpable for the past government shutdowns, back 10 years ago.
I'm going to post the story you have up right now. I'm presuming if we get an update either today or tomorrow on what's happened with that bill, you'll mm-hmm. post something on Reformer.
Yeah, I'll be writing up sort of a write through of today's, everything that happened today, later for us tonight. So that'll be posted later.
And if you are not reading the Minnesota Reformer, if you're not reading Ricardo Lopez, you are just plain wrong. An excellent journalist and an absolute privilege to have you back. Ricardo, thank you very much. We'll post everything a little bit later on Spotlight this interview as well. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much.
Take care. We'll take a break. Come on back. I got to play some audio from Kurt Taut for you in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. We've got – okay, I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on in the legislative special session, but I've got to stop because if you haven't heard Batman villain Kurt Taut and this guy – and like I said, when I asked Ricardo Lopez and I said, I think this guy's scared of the Mortensen crowd because he is – remember, this is the same guy who put a mute button in the speaker's chair when he was the speaker – and then lied about it because I have no idea where that came from. No one, yeah, it came in when you were speaker and then it left when you were done. But I want to make sure for the record, this is not doctored audio. This is from the DFL. This is actual coverage, the video from the House of Kurt Taut. This is a minute and 30 seconds long. This is supposedly a grown adult human being. Play the audio.
Representative Winkler to stop, and I would instruct you, Madam Speaker, to instruct Representative Winkler to stop
parliamentary inquiry
interrupting members. I have the floor right now, and I'm on a point of order right now.
Representative Winkler has the floor to state a parliamentary inquiry. Representative Winkler has the floor.
No, he actually doesn't. I have the floor. We're on a point of order. You can't interrupt a point of order with a point of order.
State your parliamentary inquiry.
Madam Speaker, the question I have for you as the parliamentarian is whether Representative Taut has stated a point of order.
Point of order, Madam Speaker.
Point of order, Madam Speaker.
State your point of order, Representative Winkler.
Point of order, Madam Speaker.
State your point
Madam
of order.
Madam Speaker.
state your point of order, Representative.
Madam Speaker, Madam Speaker, you already determined in this discussion that it was okay to interrupt one member with another member.
Representative Dowd, Representative Winkler rose a point of order. I am going to hear his point of order. When you rose to a point of order, you did not state one. Representative
Winkler. He also
Winkler,
has not stated one. Point of order, Madam Speaker. I want to be recognized. Point of order, Madam Speaker. I want to be recognized.
Point of order, Representative Winkler.
Madam Speaker, point of order. Point of order under Mason section.
Point of order, Madam Speaker. Point of order. Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker.
Representative Winkler has the floor. Representative,
Speaker.
You are out of order, Representative.
No,
Dowd.
I'm not. I'm trying to be recognized.
Representative
this is how you
Winkler.
Get
you are a jackass.
Point of order. Representative
Madam
Winkler
Speaker.
Has the floor.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Winkler has the floor.
I had the floor, and you
Representative
recognized
Winkler
him.
Winkler
I want it now.
That's okay now.
Representative Winkler
Madam
has
Speaker.
The floor. Please
Madam
state your
Speaker.
Point of order,
Madam
Representative
Speaker,
Winkler.
I rose to a point of order under Mason
Madam
Section
Speaker,
124.
Point of order.
Did he grab a megaphone at the end of that? You, you pathetic. No, Kurt Dowd, Republican leader of the House. You pathetic man child. Oh, does your diaper need to get changed? Oh, not that, Curdy. Not that. Do you have a little rash on your tuchus? Well, that's because you got spanked by Speaker Hartman. Oh, my God. That is supposedly a leader in one of the legislative bodies demanding he get a chocolate bar at a grocery store like a six-year-old rolling around on the floor screaming. Or as the Republican Party of Minnesota calls it, leadership. Hour two, Greg Bakken when we're back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. By the way, I called Liz Olson, Representative Liz Olson, who's the third most powerful Democrat in the House behind Ryan Winkler, to see if she would be able to join us. By the way, she was the person that was being screamed at by Kurt Dowd. So she's a little busy right now. So she couldn't join us earlier today. Peter Callahan, this is from MinnPost. He put out this tweet of the 3 days of filibusters by Minnesota House GOP. House Speaker Melissa Hortman said, "We gave them full and fair opportunity to make idiots of themselves, which they took us up on." So, wow. That audio is unbelievable.
Should I just, for the rest of the hour, every few minutes yell point of order at you?
Point of, no, you got to do it. Mr. Speaker! What in the – you are the leader of the Republican Party in the House, and you – wow, that is amazing. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. This show is full of right, sharp right turns today, sharp left turns. We just keep going in different directions when we can. We are going to change now. Of course, we right now we're welcoming on the show Greg Bakken. If you've not listened to Ghost Box Radio, it is an exceptional show we have here on Sundays 4 to 5. He delves into the world of the unknown. The last time we had him on was my non-mysterious ghost photo from a cemetery, which ended up being easily debunked by not only him but people that basically did like a, you know, Dealey Plaza JFK kind of breakdown of what happened. But Greg is someone I've wanted to bring on because there has been a lot of talk over the last few months that the military is saying, yeah, there's a lot of stuff flying around. We don't really know what it is. And of course, if you're like my age, which I grew up in the 70s with Leonard Nimoy In Search Of, where they talked about aliens and stuff like this. This is back before cable TV kids. You understood that, you know, there was all there were things that were out there. They were kind of weird. Roswell, you know, the people were taking pictures. Some of it was easily debunked, some of it not. But needless to say, as we've gone on here, when you get to the point where the military is like, we got no idea, that's worth us talking about. Now, the official report has not been released, but Greg is kind enough to join us today to talk a little bit about this because there clearly is something going on. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm glad you come back. You come back anytime. I love talking with you about this stuff. It's always kind of fun to get away from the politics and other heavy issues and talk about – and I'm not saying this isn't heavy, but I'm just saying – It's kind of heavy and kind of more of a fascinating. It's nice to have stuff we really just don't know about issue. And you do a great job on your show, 4 to 5 on Sundays, breaking this down on Ghost Box Radio. So you're always welcome on this show.
Well, point of order, Matt, yes. Is that we it's as confusing on the UFO end as it is just watching the floor. You know, there really isn't any difference, right? It's, if the government's involved, it's going to be confusing regardless. So there is a lot of similarities between what you're talking about during your show and what we're going to be talking about here.
Well, you know, I think since really the 90s, we have had, and where I've seen a lot of this is like physicists and scientists at universities who will be shown a video of something, whether it's a video in space or a video of something flying over Phoenix or something flying over the ocean by an aircraft carrier, and who are not affiliated with the military, who are saying, you know, I've studied a little bit about this. That should not be possible. What that vehicle just did should not – that right turn it just took at, you know, Mach 9 should not – it would have killed every human on it. That shouldn't be happening. And yet we still, for many years, even though we had fairly educated people pointing out there were things that were flying around that didn't make sense in regard, not necessarily UFOs, but whether it's spy drones, whatever it is, that were flying at rates and that beyond the ability of our understanding of physics and science as we knew it.
Yep. And I mean, that's the real thing of it. And that's this report that is supposed to come out. And I think they said June 25th is when it's supposed to drop. You know, it's what people have seen, because, you know, surprise, surprise, Matt, it's been leaked.
Yeah.
You know, people have a relatively good idea what's going to be in this report. And what you're going to find in the report is, first of all, do I have a little bit of time to give a little bit of background why this report even exists?
Take your time. By all means, you're the expert.
All right. Well, I certainly been doing the research. There's a lot of great people out there that have been putting all this information together, because basically it comes down from the fact that we know that the Pentagon had been doing its own investigation into Advanced Aerospace Threat Investigation Program, meaning that they had this program in place that was basically looking at, say, what's North Korea doing? What's Russia doing? You know, kind of, are they having their own space force? You know, the stuff you just talked about, the way that these vehicles move around stuff, is that from another country? You know, is it some sort of enemy sort of warfare? And what we really found out over time is that the Pentagon is actually instead, or they probably were, you know, looking at other countries, but they're also doing research and seeing about UFOs. And they were actually doing basically a program about whether UFOs exist. And over in the government, you know, the Pentagon doesn't call them UFOs. They call them unidentified aerial phenomena. And so they're calling them UAPs. So what we end up having here is that the government had spent over $22 million on this program to find out about UFOs, but no one knew anything about it. So you get Congress involved, and the Senate Intelligence Committee, they wanted to know what's going on. They demanded a formal report, just as they would, you know, demand it for really anything else that they had no idea about. So what we know from the leak from different senior government officials is that this report basically is, we don't see anything that is definitive of any sort of extraterrestrial activity, but we don't necessarily rule it out either. So it's a lot of the usual government, you know, kind of look over here, we're doing something over here. And I'm not saying that in the sense that, oh yeah, there's aliens for sure. I'm saying it more as like, you know, you want a formal report. We're going to give you a formal report. It's not really going to say a whole lot. Now, listening to people, such as, if anyone's ever heard of like Nick Pope, he had worked for the Ministry of Defense for 21 years in the UK. He's an expert on ufology also. And, you know, he's wondering, is this some kind of introductory report that we're going to get more from it? But at the same time, he's very much like, there really isn't anything to this report. Unless they add something to it when it drops around the 25th, there isn't a whole lot to be said from it that we don't already know. There isn't really anything that you could really hang your hat on in terms of the aha moment. You know, I'm hoping that there's like a press conference where they come out with aliens and there's like a banner saying Earth under new management or something, but we're not going to get that, I don't think. I think we're just going to get the usual sort of like, oh my goodness, here we go. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, obviously you kind of hope that someone comes out and said, here's your new masters, you know, give us something, you know, instead of just this sort of like you know, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Because you're right, Matt. You're right, because, I mean, there's people I know very well and I trust that are like, you won't believe what I've seen, and that has stuck with me forever because I've seen stuff that I cannot explain and I've never seen again.
I think at this point we might, you know, new management, not the worst idea. And they could be just coming here. I mean, the Cuban pork sandwiches over the Target Field, they're delicious. I wouldn't blame them for coming down for that. But I will say, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to go on the other side of here because I do think from the military's point of view, the fear that of kind of the Roswell thing happening somewhere else. You know, they kind of talked about in District 9, that movie, when they talked about what they're in South Africa, that, okay, what if an alien craft crashed into another country and they were able to harness the technology, you know, and develop it into spy technology, drone technology? There is a fear. I mean, we have in, you know, and this is not in the same realm, but you have China built an island out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean to build a new, you know, a port so they could have a military base out of nothing. I mean, there are clearly are people that will go to extremes to try to control on a military tactical strategy these things. I don't think it's necessarily, if that is the concern, and once again, the if, what the real motivations of the military and the armed forces are, it could be the case. I can understand them being concerned about that because instantaneously, the United States, no matter how much money we can throw into our military, becomes the second best military because there is a ringer in it for someone else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, the Earth is so big, right? You know, we have all of these sightings in the U.S. about stuff and all these reports about Roswell. But you do a little bit of research and you'll find that there are very similar sorts of reports in Russia of craft that have crashed and that bodies were recovered, that they don't know what it is. And so I guess the thing is, it's like for everything that we do versus other countries in terms of just our own military expansion, it's why can't we believe that there's that sort of possible alien intelligence that might end up in those countries also? You know, I think that sometimes I personally just think, oh, everything happens in the U.S., you know, being very blind to the rest of the world. But I mean, if it happens here, it's going to happen everywhere else. And it's, you know, stuff is very well documented. And, you know, whether, you know, at least as far as sightings, I should say, should clarify that as far as sightings are concerned. So it really is a very interesting thought of, you know, if we, you know, have little aliens running around Area 51 in general uniforms because we've, you know, given them great ranks for helping us create propulsion systems, who's to say that that's not happening in Russia or China? You know, definitely not North Korea, but, you know, who knows?
Well, and I also want to point out the 1950s conservative America mentality behind that, the us versus them. I mean, they could crash in Canada, and all of a sudden Canada has the most pleasant teleportation machine in the history of mankind that teleports you to a hockey game and gives you a Molson beer and say, hey, where'd you get this technology? Oh, it's these guys that fell from the sky. This is great. Who, you want to go watch the Canadians? You know, and so, you know, you do, it's all always it's Russia, it's China, it's the bad guys. You know, it could be Australia and everyone, you know, they go down there and they get a ray that turns everyone into, you know, Crocodile Dundee. You know, it's, you know, one of those things. There are lots of places this could happen that it wouldn't be necessarily nefarious. But that gets back to the other point. When you look at the narrative that's driven with this, even the military is trying to play both sides of it. Because like I said, and as you mentioned, there's a lot of scientists like that should not be able to happen. And even if it is a unmanned drone, we do not have anything close to the understanding of physics to even make something fly like that. They're trying to make it seem like, it could be that UAP, but it also could just be maybe an alien drone from you know, Albania. And the reality is that the more you think about it, it just seems like you're just – your own pilots are saying this shouldn't be existing. This seems like you're just trying to find some way to play the other side of the coin.
Well, and I was just listening to a podcast with a guy who used to be working for the CIA, and he calls himself an alien hunter, which I hate those type of terms. Just like ghost hunter, I hate those type of terms. But his name is Daryl Sims, and what he says, it's like, okay, you see all of these like night vision sort of shots of what the military is releasing of UFOs and stuff that the pilots are getting. He just said, think about it for a second. What you're looking at is at the very minimum about 2 years old. You're never seeing anything recent. You're always seeing stuff that's at least a couple years old. And he brought up a really good point too. It's like, do you not think that the military, our military has the ability to have cameras that have better quality than what we're seeing.
Of course, you know,
it's like, absolutely. So what are we seeing here? And also, I just wanted to bring up that I thought was really interesting is that now NASA, under its new administrator, Bill Nelson, that they are now saying that they're going to start investigating UFO sightings. So, you know, now everyone's starting to, you know, kind of throw their hat in the ring a little bit. And part, you know, I think normal people are like, great, we're going to get some answers. People like me who, you know, are weird, we're just going to be like, well, what's the misdirect? You know, what is really happening here that suddenly we're getting this onslaught of everyone wanting to look at, you know, this phenomena where before it was always just like, no, you don't know what it's okay. It's a weather balloon. You know, that alien body over there is a weather balloon. Don't worry about it. You know,
what crashed into Russia, that was Vlad Putin. Don't worry. I mean, and it was, but you know,
Putin is an alien. We do know that. I mean, that is fact. So.
Well, that would actually make him more appealing when it's faced it, honestly, at this point. So when you look at, I mean, Carl Sagan, if you go back and look at some of the great specials that he did back in the 80s and 70s, and he's talking about
and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, he's talking about, you know, of course they're here, but why, you know, why would they mess with us? You know, it's kind of like, you know, or, you know, it just, mm-hmm. They've got better things to do. You know, the idea we have had, and once again, 1950s conservative American mentality, spaceship comes down, lands on the mall at DC and says, hello there, we're here. The reality is, the way I look at it, because I think your point, what you were just saying there, that over the last few years, this really has started becoming very vocal, much more than just kind of weird cable TV shows, as you say, like Hunters and stuff, or aliens. You know, it's more than that. There does seem to be a lot of chatter, and I almost kind of wonder if they realize the cat's out of the bag, that at some point there's going to be something that's going to appear over Chicago. 3 million people are going to see it. Everyone's got a freaking camera in their hand, and it's not going to be something you can do the weather balloon thing with. And whether or not there's any proof of anything more than, once again, this line that the military is putting forward, that it's could be something, could be a spy drone or something like that, but it could be something else. It's going to start becoming clear that, you know, it is a pretty big universe. If you haven't paid attention, there's a decent chance that there is something else out there. And they seem to be very interested in what we're doing down here. And I think I agree with you. I think that there's – it might not be tomorrow, might not be next year, might not be 10 years. But I think there is something coming where we're going to understand really a little bit better of how the science of everything in the galaxy works. And I think it's going to change a lot of things that happen on this planet. And I think that's what scares a lot of people.
It does. And I think what's going to even be worse is when we find out. And I do believe that, you know, just as this report came out, because they found out that there's more to what the Pentagon is doing in terms of investigating UFOs. I think we're going to find out at some point that they know a hell of a lot more than what they've been saying. And there's going to be a lot of questions that are like, because it's not like, oh, you knew something for the last 5 years. It's going to probably be like you've known something for the last 70 years, maybe even longer. I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, that in fact that we've been run by aliens for, you know, 100 years, but that we're going to know more that clearly maybe should have been passed along to the public.
Mm-hmm. And I read a book, oh gosh, a while back, but it was a fascinating book under the argument. It was very much of Roswell was real. And what the argument they said is that if you look at the advancement in technology from the beginning of the 1950s to where we ended up by the time we got to the end of the 60s, that the technology no one was talking about all of a sudden started becoming real. The computers, the microwaves, you know, the things that people had never put out there. And the speculation was, well, what if something crashed in Roswell and it just changed, you know, behind the scenes, a lot of how we interpreted science and things changed and the scientific advancements there. Let's face it, we are going through to a point, you know, social media aside, we're going through one of those massive changes in technology again. And I'm not saying, once again, this is fueled necessarily by aliens or things, but if what that book put forward, I can't remember the name of the title, but I'll try to track that down. But what that book put forward is that all of a sudden you add a new dynamic that no one's thinking about. It can radically change the world. And if you look at what happened after Roswell, where science and engineering went, it did radically change, especially when it came to whether industrial or household applications, things changed. And so I think that just on that level alone, if we look at it, there seems to be I'm not going to say that that's necessarily evidence, but at the same time, there definitely seems to have been something that happened that changed a lot of people. And you know, you can point back to the nuclear bomb as well as possibly being the instigator of that. But the reality is that had already happened by the time we got to Roswell. And you know, nuclear technology doesn't really have a lot of day-to-day applications in my kitchen. So,
right. And but you look at like rocket propulsion. You look at different sorts of material that's used for clothing that just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's, you know that's sturdier than anything that's been around before. You know, I mean, that's where I do enjoy something like Ancient Aliens, where they talk about some of that. The downside to it, of course, is that they somehow find a way to like link the American Revolution to aliens. And, you know, next thing you know, you're believing that George Washington was an alien the whole time. But, you know, it's sort of like, wow, this is really, you know, that you do see that jump. And you are absolutely right that you have this alien, like you have nuclear bombs, you have all this atomic research and stuff, but we do take a leap forward within such a short amount of time to get people out in space.
Yeah,
it's such a leap.
And if you've ever gone, by the way, if you ever gone to the Smithsonian and go to the Space Air and Space Museum, the stuff those guys came up with in a very short period of time is remarkable. It is there. But then as well, it's like, I mean, by the mid-70s, we started having microwave ovens in people's houses. And if you think about that, that's the change in just the idea of this, the concept of the usage is really – there was something that happened. I always love what you watch Ancient Aliens. It's like – because no matter what, you see that Arby's beef and chander sandwich? Aliens. And you're like, really? You think they're giving that to us? You know, no, I think that's just bad corporate marketing, if you want to know the truth. I'll just go with that.
That's one of NASA's failures, actually, is Arby's roast beef. But yeah.
That was a dark day in the space shuttle that day.
Literally.
Okay, really quick, your last Ghostbox radio, you talked to the person with the actual Annabelle doll?
Yes, Tony Sparrow, absolutely, yeah.
That is creepy, dude. That's creepy AF.
You know, the thing about that is that he is, I mean, he's the nicest guy to talk to him. And he has such a lineage with the old school paranormal. He's the son-in-law of Ed and Lorraine Warren, and who are so famous. And that's what the Conjuring films are based on. And, you know, obviously you have the Annabelle films. So, yes, this is really quite amazing. And just the opportunity to talk with him about, you know, what's it like to be around that doll? And then I made the decision, and Anne, the psychic medium who's going to be on my show this Sunday, she makes an appearance once a month on the show. Her and I are going to go out to Waterbury, Connecticut in October, where he's having his convention, and we're actually going to see the doll in person and hopefully have my picture taken with it. For some reason, I have to have my picture taken with this doll.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
that's not going to come back on you. Yeah, the real nice guy with the haunted doll. You enjoy yourself out there in October on the East Coast. You have a great time out there. That show, by the way, we're re-airing that show, I believe, on Saturday night, 8 to 9. The brand new Ghost Box is 4 to 5 on Sunday. You have the psychic. I'm presuming a show is coming down the line when this report gets released. You're going to go break into the UFO stuff quite a bit, correct?
I will, absolutely, and line up the people I like to talk to about this sort of thing and just kind of have a talk about it. And I the problem is I don't think we're all going to be all that surprised by what's going to come out of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I'd like the 60 Minutes article was pretty good. I mean, if you saw that 60 Minutes piece, I thought that was pretty good. But I think that that's as far as they're going to allow any of this to go. I agree with that. But once again, it is at least a minor step forward, and I think that the more the physicists and the regular scientists sign in saying, well, that's not anything this planet can do, that's going to help. We'll look forward to that. Once again, Ghost Box Radio, the brand new show airs on Sunday, 4 to 5. We do a re-air Saturday night, 8 to 9. Greg Bakken, Greg, anytime you want to come back, my friend, you come back to the show, okay?
Thank you so much, sir.
Take care. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You know why I love Greg Bakken? Because there is a lot of these shows on there. There was a great line. Did you see that line from Jordan Klepper on the interview with Mike Lindell that they did on The Daily Show? Where Klepper just rips him at the very end and he says, "You're the Bigfoot show. You do an entire show, You don't have any proof. You hear some rustling in the bushes. And at the very end, you say, well, we didn't see anything this time, but tune in next week and we might see him again. And Lindell, it was such a great breakdown of Mike Lindell. Lindell just says, you're horrible. And a guy who cannot stop mugging it for the camera stormed off. Brilliant. If you've not seen that, it's there. A lot of shows. We used to talk about squatching right here with Matt McNeil, our cable TV entry. Because I said, if you know, I can go anywhere and look for Sasquatches, because basically they're out in the middle of the wilderness in Canada. They're not having any luck. I'm going to the Mall of America. I'll be the food court. We'll see if we can find any squatches there. That was kind of our mentality. There's a lot of shows out there that will be like, well, something crashed in Roswell. Okay, I'll buy that. There was a spike in world technology right afterward. That does seem to indeed have happened. There's lots of mysterious craft that are flying in the skies. That's going there. And so what happened was an alien George Washington and Will Chamberlain went to McDonald's. Whoa. You had me until the Happy Meal. Okay? And, you know, are they in the ball pit together? That's a weird one. I'm just going to say aliens. No, you don't have to jazz it up. There's enough evidence of weird stuff going on out there. You don't have to go for the ratings. You can just say, well, here's a physicist. Can that happen? No, I've never seen anything that could do that. All right, the physicist is stumped. That's good enough for me. But you see, it's first. They wanted to go to Famous Dave's. What? No. What are you doing? The barbecue wings have nothing to do with this. Stop talking about this. They wanted to go get some fashionable clothes. No, they didn't.
And that's why I generally can't watch those shows. It breaks down into that kind of stuff, which is not good.
Where's the good old-fashioned cattle mutations? I mean, we used to have those. I could buy that. It's like, they're clearly looking at autopsy. Or they're Ed Gein. It's one of the two. Yeah, that was my first Ed Gein reference of the day. Thank you very much. It used to be simpler, you know. It was like, something decided to do a dissection on a pig. Okay, I guess. Then it became, and then they all decided to go to a Airbnb in Zurich. And it was like, hey, really? That doesn't sound really alien-y, more kind of midlife crisis-y. So just FYI, keep things in check. Let's take a break. We'll get back to something else when we come back. 952 and listen to Greg Bach and Ghost Box Radio. It's a fantastic show. It is on Sundays, 4 to 5, right here on AM 950.
Do you think maybe Kurt Daut got his shirts from aliens or those jackets?
There's a lot of – I'm going to guess pound for pound at least 19, 20 of those house members are not from their district, if you get what I mean. 952. Jesus. That would explain the shininess of that dude's jacket. It's similar to liquid metal, like a robot from the future. Apparently, it's a robot from the future that basically is based on that kid from A League of Their Own. Really? That's the character from our media that you decided the aliens in the future to decide to mimic? That guy. Thanks, Kurt Daut. Good luck fighting the Cape Crusader tonight. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll play that audio from Kurt Daut when we come back again. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's get Jerry in Columbia Heights in really quick before we get to a lot of other things before the end of the show. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Matt. My name is actually Terry.
Oh, Terry. Hey, Terry.
You before.
Beautiful.
I just want to talk to you about for just a second, give people something to think about. It's stuff that's been out there. You know, our universe, the best they can measure, is 13.5 billion years old, and it's still expanding. And our planet, you know, is only half that age. But the point I'm trying to make is if people think that we're the only intelligent life in this universe, they've got a big surprise coming. And if you read the Bible and the book of Ezekiel, the first four chapters, you read it, and it sounds exactly like they are describing spaceships and aliens coming down. And, you know, they're always saying that angels are coming down in clouds of smoke and whatnot.
It's a lot better than Leviticus. It's a lot better than Leviticus, the glorified camping instructions. What do you mean I can't have a bratwurst? Anyway, go right ahead.
Well, and then one last thing. And this might be a little controversial, but if you really look at it, Jesus was an alien.
Okay, we're done. Thank you very much, Jerry. Thank you very much. And he joined Chichi Rodriguez along with President Taft as they went on a crime spree in Monaco back in the 1950s. I'm glad you got your personal beliefs there. This show does not hesitate in getting into those thick religious topics, does it? Not at all. Not in the least bit. There's not even intelligent life on most of this planet. Let's just be honest at this point. I mean, and we seem to be going on the lower curve every time I turn on social media. I'm just going to say it. Although, speaking of social media, someone has apparently lit the fireworks display in the Hy-Vee and Egan up on flame. I just shared it on Twitter. That's a fire. That apparently some kids. Who knew if you put kids around a lot of wicks that something like this might not happen?
No, he wasn't going around with a blue tarp over him and trying to sneak between cars, was he?
No, these kids, I think, were a little more brazen.
Okay.
They're not that dumb kind of crime. It's kind of one of those things. That is an impressive fire. That's going to do
something. Oh, they actually got the
– Oh, yeah. I got a video of the fire. It's not – there was a video that was earlier just showing smoke coming out of the store. This is an eyewitness account of a entire stand fireworks going up in flames. But thank God it's Minnesota because none of them are really good. So it's most of them are just minor stuff. Although I'm going to suggest we move Carla from aisle 13 down to 6. That's just going to be, a more efficient way to do this. I think of Frank Drebin, police squad in front of this. Go home. Nothing to see here.
Can you imagine if you're shopping in that aisle, minding your own business? And
there's a guy from Hy-Vee that's sitting in the background like, what did I do here? I don't know what to do. Completely lost. Oh,
Call the manager.
Good luck with that. We are going to replay this. This is an embarrassment. If you are a Republican, this is what goes for leadership in your party. Kurt Dowd, who is just a plum basket of delight. Kurt Dowd is the House Minority Leader. Reminder, when he was Speaker, he put a mute button in the Speaker's chair, so he doesn't really care about respecting anyone. This is them in day 4 of the filibuster that they're trying to do because, and this is my theory, I think that the Republican Party is terrified of Eric Mortensen's far-right brigade that called them out, so they're trying to make it look like they're not going to work with Democrats ever. And instead of looking like any kind of determined leadership, which is not possible for most Republicans in the Minnesota Republican Party, he sounds like a petulant, disgusting child. By the way, if you also look at the video, he's wearing a suit made out of my grandmother's chair. I don't know how he got that, but needless to say, that's a pattern of fabric that hasn't been available in America since the 1950s. Alien, maybe. I don't know. But needless to say, here it is, 1 minute and 33 seconds of pure joy of the House Minority Leader, Kurt Dowd, from the Republican Party of Minnesota, being an absolute jackass.
And I would instruct you, Madam Speaker, to instruct Representative Winkler to stop
parliamentary inquiry members.
Interrupting members. I have the floor right now, and I'm on a point of order right now.
Representative Winkler has the floor to state a parliamentary. Representative Winkler has the floor.
No, he actually doesn't. I have the floor. We're on a point of order. You can't interrupt a point of order with a point of order.
State your parliamentary inquiry.
Madam Speaker, the question I have for you as the parliamentarian is whether Representative Dowd has stated a point of order. Point of order, Madam Speaker.
Point of order, Madam Speaker.
State your point of order, Representative Winkler.
Point of order, Madam Speaker.
State your point
Madam
of order.
Madam Speaker.
State your point
Madam
of
Speaker.
Order, Representative
Madam
Winkler.
Speaker. Madam Speaker. You already determined in this discussion that it was okay to interrupt one member with another member.
Representative Dowd, Representative Winkler rose a point of order. I am going to hear his point of order. When you rose to a point of order, you did not state one. Representative
Winkler. He also
Winkler,
has not stated one.
Point
of order, Madam Speaker. I want to be recognized.
Point of order, Representative
Point of order, Madam Speaker. I want to be recognized.
Point of order, Representative
Point of order.
Winkler.
Madam Speaker,
Representative Winkler has the floor.
I had the floor, and you recognized him.
Representative Winkler has the floor. Please state your point of order.
Madam Speaker, I rose to a point of order under Mason's section.
Can I ask every other Republican who's on that House floor at this point? Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's some absolute idiots that are there, and there are some stupid morons in the Republican Party of Minnesota on the House floor. But there are some that are not. How is someone not going up to him and pulling him aside and saying, dude, okay, done. You made your point. Dude, done. How, if you're a Republican, is that really the leadership you want? Who can spread the most feces on the wall is the standard of leader that you really like? That's Republican leadership. And you listen to Liz Olson, who's got the speaker's chair at that point, and you listen to her trying to deal with this as patient as any daycare worker in the history of daycares, trying to deal with a spoiled brat little man-child. But listen to Kurt Dowd. That's the leadership. That's Paul Gazelka. That's Jennifer Carnahan. That's what Republicans think we should be. And frankly, And like I said, I think he's like this because he's terrified of that Mortensen brigade. So they're trying to make it look like there will never work with the other side. And they don't realize you just lost everything right there. You were a lying sack of crap before when you did that whole thing with the Minnesota Light Rail line. You remember that Southwest Light Rail? You remember how Dayton spanked you badly with that one? Hilarious. But you are already a horrible human being. It's just now you're just a spoiled little brat K-Dog. 952-946-6205. Other things I got to get to today. The Minnesota coronavirus update for today. Monday's COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health. 100 new cases, 4 new deaths. My sincerest apologies to all the families there. The state's death toll roll is now 7,549 since the start of the pandemic. As of June 19th, the state reported 3,028,086 people have been received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. 2,828,850 have completed their vaccine series. Once again, most of the people that have gotten it are definitely in the older age brackets. 65 plus is 90%. 50 to 64 is 71%. Total population is 54%. 51% of Minnesotans' total population has completed the vaccine. And Minnesota Department of Health has public dashboard to track vaccine progress in Minnesota. You can view it through the link. I'll post that a little bit later on today. Number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 139, up from 132 the day before. As a matter of fact, I saw a stat somewhere else. I think this is the first day since April of last year we actually have fewer than 1,000 people in Minnesota overall currently with coronavirus. The first time since early April of last year that fewer than 1,000 people statewide have coronavirus, which is good. Of those hospitalized, 44 people were in intensive care. That's up from 41. 95 are receiving non-ICU treatment, up from 91. Hospital admissions involving COVID patients in Minnesota dropped to 223 on March 7th before going to 699 April 14th. Since then, they've been going down lower. Once again, please get vaccinated. Can I beg you, please get vaccinated. You need to get vaccinated. If you can, all right, please get. Well, no, everyone can. I mean, you can get vaccinated. They've got the vaccines; they're free, and they still have some of these benefits. It goes till the end of the month of June. You can still sign up for great perks to go with it, and lots of places are giving you beer. So, it's the Kavanaugh special. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A 68-year-old man shot to death in his doorway Sunday was a St. Cloud State University professor, Ed Ward. His daughter has reported that on Monday. Amy Jones, who lives in Duluth, told the Star Tribune her father was a professor for the Department of Management and Entrepreneurship at St. Cloud State, where he had taught for more than three decades. He was very kind and compassionate. He had a wonderful sense of humor, and he always tried to see the best in everyone. St. Cloud police say a 45-year-old Duluth man shot the St. Cloud man multiple times while he was standing inside the doorway of his home. Police confirmed Ward's identity on Monday afternoon. Ward was taken to St. Cloud Hospital, where he died. His body is undergoing an autopsy. Officers reported to the 6:16 a.m. shooting early in the morning, 2600 block of Island View Drive. Observed shots appeared to come from outside the residence. Police used a dog to attempt to track the suspect, but shortly after 7 a.m., witnesses called 911 to report a man was walking around with a handgun. Officers arrested the suspect, recovered the gun, and the suspect admitted to the officers he shot the victim. The Duluth man was transported to Stearns County Jail, where he awaits charges. Star Tribune does not identify the suspects before they're charged. I wonder if he had a carrying concealed permit. Wonder if that's the case. Oh, like he was a good guy? Oh, until he started shooting people. Then he was a bad guy. Police say Sunday he believed he was a random incident. Now, that's the thing which is crazy. It just sounds like this guy did not know this professor. He just had a gun and decided to use it and shot this man on his own front doorstep in St. Cloud. Jones says his father lived at the house with his wife, Denise, who said she and her brother Mark grew up in the home. I've always felt safe there, she said. The house, which is on a dead-end road in the south side town near the Mississippi River and St. Cloud Country Club. Jones released a statement on behalf of Ward's family Monday that stated, "We are shocked and saddened by the murder of our beloved Ed. He was a gentle, quiet, intelligent man who served as a professor at St. Cloud State for over 30 years, where he impacted the lives and careers of countless students. Ward loved reading, bicycling, and history. Though his greatest love was his family," a statement said. St. Cloud State President Robin Wacker said on Monday that Ward was served as a member of the campus community since the 1990s. Very sad story. And obviously, it's something that needs to be – I think we need more information on the shooter, because was it just that simple? Because once again, here's another case of that idea that guns keep us safer is just absolute crud. Person gets a gun and then just randomly starts shooting someone in St. Cloud. And what a loss to the community. What a loss. I mean, every time there's a shooting, there's a loss to the community. But we don't ever want to talk about the fact that the gun made the gun as the vehicle of death is so instantaneous and lethal. We just don't want to have that conversation, but that's the reality of it. And reminder that there's a lot of Republicans in the state that fought to make sure that guy had that gun in his hand, but now we'll say, well, I didn't want him to have the gun. Well, you know, funny story is that when you just label everybody a good guy with a gun, regardless of whether or not they're a good guy with a gun, bad things with guns happen. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do return, it's the Sports Corner. We don't do that too often, but why not today? We'll try that. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Hey, boy, you never had much game. So I needed to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Hey, just don't forget yourself. We're here tomorrow for a live show. I'm taking a little time off there. I get the joy of going to a youth soccer tournament in Duluth. Yeah, it's always nice. 90 inland, 60 on the shoreline.
What position do you play?
Lazy.
Oh, you're not the one playing. Okay.
Lazy. But since we're talking sports, it's time for Matt's Sports Corner. We don't do this that often. This actually breaking news. Las Vegas Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib has become the first active NFL player to come out as gay, according to the news on Instagram post on Monday. Expect the NFL to immediately cut him from the Raiders and blacklist him from being able to play on any other team.
But they'll come up with their excuses. Oh, well, you just didn't fit our scheme.
You know, we sure like a pretty good defensive end, but who wouldn't? But, you know, we got 17 of them someplace. I thought we had them. That'll be it. Because remember this about the NFL, they are not a very nice group of people. So let's just keep that in mind. The major ruling today, though, that is in the sports quarter here, is a ruling that could basically change a lot of things. Now, I have to admit, this is one of those issues I have evolved on in time. At one point, I used to be one of these people that's like, well, if you're a college player, and maybe it was because I was younger, and I remember when the thought of paying for college, it was a big thing. And, here's a kid that's going in there, and they got to be able to get a full ride. They can go play. All they have to do is play sports. Part of it was, as I've gotten older, I realized that's not necessarily fair compensation, a college scholarship, especially when a university is making millions off some of these players. But as well as I've gotten older, I've realized the hampering and the rules and the amazing amount of hoops that these athletes have to jump through that prevent them from even getting spending money on campuses is not fair, especially when the university is once again making millions and millions of dollars off their likeness. The High Court agreed with a group of former college athletes that the NCAA limits on the education-related benefits that colleges can offer athletes who play Division I basketball and football can't be enforced. Justice Neil Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch wrote for the court that the NCAA sought immunity from the normal operation of the antitrust laws, which the court declined to grant. Isn't it nice we have a Supreme Court justice so we actually identify just by one word? Beer! Good luck with life on that one, Brett. At the undercurrent NCAA rules, students cannot be paid, and the scholarship money colleges can offer is capped at the cost of attending the school. The NCAA had defended its rules as necessary to preserve the amateur of nature of college sports, but the former athletes had brought the case, including former West Virginia football player Shane Alston, argued the NCAA's rules on education-related compensation were unfair and violate federal antitrust laws designed to promote competition. The Supreme Court upheld a lower court ruling, barring the NCAA from enforcing those rules. As a result from the ruling, the NCAA itself can't bar schools from sweetening their offers to Division I basketball and football players with additional education-related benefits. And also, can I say, is now you might have a decent chance you can keep players at the university for more than just 1 year. You can keep guys playing for the entire four. That might help you in the long run. I mean, I think the NCAA was a little short-sighted on a lot of this stuff, that's for sure. The ruling, by the way, how about this? How many of these rulings so far have kind of been shocking 9-0 rulings that basically say, no, this is pretty clear cut. You guys are violating antitrust laws with these kids. And the fact that this was every Supreme Court justice from most liberal to most conservative said, no, this is against the law. You can't do this. Tells you, I mean, where's the NCAA going to go with this? They have nowhere to go. There's no way for them. They're going to have to figure this out. The NCAA is trying to amend its rules to allow athletes to profit off their names, images, and likenesses. That would allow athletes to earn money for things like sponsorship deals, online endorsements, and personal appearances for some athletes. And I don't have a problem with that because the reality is okay, so an athlete, say, let's just take a University of Minnesota athlete. The guy's already going to have, say it's a football player. He's going to have already an insane amount of commitments with the football team just on practices and getting ready for games. He's going to have a lot of commitments for classes, and those are not going to go away. He still has to kind of attend class and has to have a grade point average and stuff like that, although it'll be interesting to watch what the SEC does. But at the same time, it's not like he's going to have, 17 appearances in a week, and, that's going to be his primary. I mean, there's going to be a limited amount, but at least they'll be able to make some money, and I think that's a good thing. So there you go. Busy sports corner here on the Matt McNeil Show. Native Roots Radio, exceptional show. Stay with us into the 6 o'clock hour. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.